What's up, Node.js developers? Today, I invited one of my Twitter friends to the podcast, an indie hacker that has built a portfolio of 30 apps and has grown it to 7K MRR at the moment of recording this podcast. When it's going to be out, I'm pretty sure it's going to be double. And he has done this in less than a year. Welcome to the podcast, Maxim. How are you feeling today?
Thanks for bringing me here. I'm very excited. Excited to share my learnings and answer any questions, and just happy to be here.
Perfect. So today I really want to pick your brain to learn from you, from your strategy, because this year I also started investing more time into app development, into launching my own apps. And there is a lot of things to learn from you that I'm pretty sure that our audience is also going to love it. So I want to start with diving right into the topics, and I want to ask you a question. Why did you choose the strategy of building 30 different applications rather than focusing on one single application?
Okay, so very good question. And the answer is it's kind of simple. So as everyone else who's starting out with the development part and, starting like, say, mobile engineers, you always have your pet project. And so did I. So I had it for almost 4 years, and I put so much effort into it. So I spent so much time, and I didn't have any knowledge that I have right now. So I was just doing some random stuff, trying to pump it up. At some point, I understood that I don't like that project at all, but I'm a pretty kind of stubborn person. So I decided I have to do something. So I have to go, have to get at a certain point. So long story short, it didn't really work out. And after that, I probably got fed up. I just wanted to not to be attached to any project and maybe just have a break, leave it, go different direction. So I'm not saying that I'm not coming back to a single app. I might do that. But for now, it just feels easier. You build one app, you ship, and ship another one, and if it floats or sinks, you just don't care, because you, at the time you see it floating or sinking, you're just building another app, and kind of going and going.
And I'm curious, this strategy is working for you. What's the reason? Is it because every single application is bringing in some amount of revenue, or is it because it takes, for example, 10 apps for one outlier that is bringing 90% of the revenue?
Yeah, this the famous 80-20 rule does work here 100%. So some apps generate, around 50-100 euro a month, and not happening anything else. So it's just kind of on the same pace. But some apps do grow. And if I take my portfolio, it's exactly almost like I was measuring it a few weeks ago. It's around 80%. Of apps that are kind of not doing great, and 20% that do 80% of revenue. So yeah.
Okay, that's good to know, because in that case, if a new person would launch one or two apps and it doesn't do anything, it just means that they have to just launch more, right? Until some of the apps will hit.
Yeah, I see some people, the strategy that they take, say they think of building multiple apps, but they build one, and instead of going to the other app, they're trying to improve it. And, it's not that easy. Nowadays, when the vibe coding stuff kind of showed up, everyone building apps. So the main point is to market it. Or you get really smart with the keyword, and then with the topic of the app, you might get with the ASO without any marketing there. But it's kind of work to find the right keyword to wind up, but it's luck. So if you're lucky, and then to get lucky, the more projects you build, the more bigger chance of getting one app that brings you all the revenue is. So that's kind of my take on it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. You touched on two topics that I want to discuss, but maybe a bit later. It's about building a new app or improving an old one. That's a question I will ask you in a second. And also about distribution. But those topics, I think we're going to get more in depth there. And before we do that, maybe you can share with us some of your analytics to give an insight of how is a portfolio 30 application like looking like in App Store Connect. And...
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let me just hit that share button. Right. So this is the current state of the app analytics. There's a plenty of apps and...
That's a lot of apps.
Like, not all of them are doing great. I just picked a few of them. I just want to like to show maybe some story history behind each app pretty briefly and explain some apps that did well, some apps that didn't do well, and like so on.
And this is like for the last month, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. So this app, this is the app that I built before I started my journey. It's like it's the second app. So first app was a calorie counter that I was trying to push for like a few years and didn't really work out well. This is the fasting tracker that I built after that, and like it's doing really poor. But the thing is, I'm not doing anything on it. I have some plans, but the thing is that like there's so many apps that I want to work with, and like I. Honestly, I probably lost kind of interest to that area, so I just, you know, let it go.
But probably, the conversion rate is good here.
Yeah, I'd say there's some potential, but I don't know, like, I probably need to work on it. So, like, this is kind of one example. This is a good example. This is the statistics AI that I released right before the study season started. And it got its boost, like even though people are saying the boost is over, it's not over. It's probably not as good as it was before.
Yeah, it's different.
It did work well. It did work great. And right now I see this kind of down trend, but I'm not doing anything on it. So
this is a fresh app, right? Like it's probably 1 month old or something.
Yeah, it's like if you look at the.
It's August 28th. I saw their lifetime.
Yeah, it's a boom. It's just like it's right before the school season, the study season started. So I don't know if that will. There's a plenty. This is very competitive area, and there's a plenty of apps. I don't know what will be with this app. Whatever, we'll see.
But what's impressive here is the amount of dollars you're making per download. It's around like $1.5. I think that's on a higher end, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, this is the app that I was kind of surprised with because I didn't expect. I submitted, like released similar study math apps at the same time and they didn't really take off, but this one did. So some crashes, unfortunately, I had.
Painful.
But now, you know, see, it's fine. It's just the Flutter library that I've been using. Like I should have kind of spent a bit more time on it. But the good thing is that I have a boilerplate and I fixed crashes here and means I fixed crashes on all other apps. So I just needed to make a more like submissions of updates. It's a good thing.
Cool. Like just one thing I want to mention there is for people to realize that, can you go back?
Yeah, sure.
For people to realize that you don't need millions of downloads to make a living out of apps, like with 400, like with 500 downloads, you're making around $600. Like bring it up to 4,000 downloads per month, which is very realistic, and you have like a normal dev salary that you can live off. Like if you're making like $6,000 to $7,000 a month, so that's impressive. Like that shows like what's possible and that. It's not really impossible. You don't need millions of downloads to make meaningful revenue.
Yeah, so I guess if you just spend more time on TikTok, Instagram, whatever marketing you want, so pay that, I think you could, you know, bring it up. So that's it's doable, I guess.
Okay, perfect. Let's move on.
All right. The next one is this is the app that I think it was either this one or the other one, one of the first apps that I ever created. Based on the template from Adam, like after I watched his videos, famous videos. And this app, when I started, it got the boost, and the boost was not, I think it was kind of a bit unusual because normal boost was like, it would be like 2-3 days. This one was like around 5 or 6 days. And I got around 700 euro. That's probably $800 for in the 3-4 days after the app was released. So I couldn't believe, like, my revenue cut, like, notifications were just kind of booming. Like, my phone was just, you know, constantly dipping. And here it is. So sometime after, this is what it became to. And so you see that the conversion rate is a bit low. Mm-hmm. This spike is probably because my last tweet about 7K kind of got people, you know, wondering. And then they probably opened the app because you see the product page view is rising up, but the conversion rate is not, which is fine.
Why do you think, like, it slowed down?
It's the plant identifier. I think it's probably the hugest, the most, like, one of the most competitive niches. The thousands, hundred thousands of these apps are out there.
Okay. Competition.
And then I guess I did look into the social marketing onto these apps, and what I found that like, even this, the, what's the name of the app? Picture This, I think they have like around 6 or 2 or 6 million a month revenue. They don't really have that TikTok's account. I mean, they do, but it's not taking up ads. They do lots of ads, and then
you need that
budget and have lots of money to invest.
Okay, interesting.
This is another thing, kind of promising. I want to do a bit of work on this app. This app was released in June, right at the end of the season and school season. So it did take off, kind of not as good as the statistic was, but kind of similar. But it got down like to the almost the bottom, in August, because there's no really students or. No one is using it. Now it started to grow up, and I don't know. Like, I might think of running some ads, or maybe even localization. I heard that might work. Some people
on the app store itself, right?
Yeah, like maybe do like with the AI, I could do any languages. Maybe do like all the languages, 30, 40 languages, just to see how it goes.
I mean, at least like the top five. That's also one of my strategies to try to test it, to do like localization for top five.
And maybe one more kind of not interesting, but like
the chemistry like has the same pattern of over $1 per download, which is nice.
Yeah, that's like the study apps, like I said, like I keep mentioning in X and Twitter, they do good. Not sure well or not, but I mean, makes sense.
That's quite interesting, because like the target, the demographics, like the target audience are students, which in my opinion are not people who are spending a lot of money. But maybe like this B2C, when it's not that expensive and it solves like a very real problem of students, maybe it makes it easier for them to just buy.
And just to note on that, I think 95% of all subs are weekly. I mean, 99 of subs. I'm rarely getting yearly subscriptions.
Okay. Makes so you're sense. Following the strategy of weekly, 3 days trial plus yearly, right?
Yeah, yes. Like students, makes sense. Students are broke. They don't have money. They subscribe on weekly, and the weekly payments give me more than the yearly ones.
Yeah.
So, nice. You know. And this app, like a perfect example of the flop. There's a keyword. There's like some popularity, difficulty, some traction, some traffic, I guess. Here's the boost. Here's the proceeds, and here's the downloads. And, I mean, the conversion rate is probably not too bad.
Yeah. But I mean, conversion rate, like during the first month, like when it's the boost, usually is not very accurate. Like,
right. Yeah.
It's inflated, right?
So we can just quickly look at the last week. Well, it's still not too bad. It's maybe there's more to it, more stuff to do on this app. I don't know. I just don't have time.
Okay, perfect. So that's amazing. Like, we saw some of the winners. We saw some of the apps that flopped. I think it's good to have like this mindset of like, every application like is an experiment, and by building and launching them, like we're just increasing our chances of success. Because if it takes 10 apps to find like one outlier, if you're going to launch 20 or 30, like you're going to increase your chances to find that outlier that generates above average revenue. I saw some of your applications. They are, for example, the Math AI homework helper, the statistics AI, the physics AI. They are, let's say, the same application, but targeted to different keywords. How is that strategy working for you? Like, can you explain that?
Yeah, so basically I've built one study app. I think it was chemistry. No, I got into chemistry on the other ones. I got the structure. So I got the basic thing, the main feature is to, you know, get the photo of the, like, the formula or the problem, and then get solution, like, written by ChatGPT. And I also, just to be, not to be a very kind of similar to other apps, I added some flashcards, some quizzes, some stuff that's not using ChatGPT, so it's just kind of static stuff, some like calculator, so just to make it a bit more. I didn't spend much time on it, so that these features are just kind of like just nice things to have, but they are not really fully kind of like great features. It's just something just to have. And then having this, I'm finding another keyword that has a good popularity difficulty ratio. And I just copy the project. So it's almost 90% of the same code. It's exactly the same code. Then I ask ChatGPT cursor to go through and then change it from chemistry to math, mm-hmm. change it from statistics to geometry. Mm-hmm. And it does. So I change the the assets, like images, like screenshots, everything. And that's it. Yeah, I can. And I just ship. And like, I don't understand, like, chemistry, statistics, they are different subjects. It's fine. Physics, fine. History, fine. But when I released geometry, and that was very close to statistics. And also I have just a math AI that I built, I think it was either March or May. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that Apple might reject it. I don't know how close the apps must be to each other to hit the rejection kind of threshold. Mm-hmm. But it didn't, and I don't know. It might. It doesn't mean that it won't reject after the next update. I don't know. It's just my experience. It worked. I don't know if it will work tomorrow, but it is what it is.
Okay, so Apple is fine with that.
Yeah. I don't know. And also, this is probably most of us noticed that the review process is very different. It does depend on the person who does it. Like, my wife, she used to work as reviewing apps, but for Google. But I guess it's kind of similar structure in Apple. It's depends on the person. Person might be lazy, might be very picky. They might be in the right mood, not mood. So they have some guidelines to go through, and the rest they kind of do on their own. Mm-hmm. So you might get lucky and got through, you might get not lucky, got lots of questions and rejections. So that's the reality, kind of.
Yeah, it's about luck, yeah? Okay. Look, I know that you also have a 9-to-5 job, and you're working a 9-to-5 even up to this day when the portfolio is generating over 7K. How are you managing everything?
Yeah, so this is not an easy thing to manage, and it very nicely, I found the nice approach that fits to my schedule. So I have family, my wife and two kids, and I found the best time. I'm a very early person, so I like to wake up 7, 8. No, I guess it's probably too late for me. What I do, I wake up at 6, a bit before 6. And then I have almost 2 hours of deep focus work before my family wakes up. Mm-hmm. So this is very nice. I turn off all the messengers and anything. I just focus on work, and this is really great thing, great stuff.
And that's when you focus on the apps, right?
Yeah. And also when I finish work and when we put our kids to bed, so nighttime, maybe 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, and say around 11 o'clock we go to bed. So it's kind of, it's a bit tough, and I don't work on weekends sometimes, occasionally, but most of the time I don't. It's very draining. It's very, it's a bit stressed, and the burnout, I don't think I hit the right word, the biggest burnout, but sometimes small burnouts, they come in and I just say stop work for a day. And then the growing MRR, the growing revenue, that's what keeps kind of me get like to avoid this burnout.
Yeah, while it's growing, I think it's easy, right? To keep on pushing, like.
Yeah, like I mean, imagine you're building stuff, you're doing like that job, you're just wasting so much spending so much energy, and you're wasting it because you don't see anything, any growth. That would be really like demotivating. But I do know that I'm not gonna do that forever, and
I think it's a window of opportunity, right?
Yeah, like I really like my 9-to-5. I know some people, they eager to leave it. I just the company and I work like really great. I mean, the people, everything around, and I'm happy to be here. But on the other hand, this is so much time that I could put into my portfolio, and it might growing like with the double speed. I don't know. So like. And then, like the schedule to wake up early and have the extra work together with 9-to-5, it's a bit like draining. So probably till the end of this year, I'm gonna do this. I want to get this goal. I'm not sure if I get this 10K. It's just something I came like out of the blue. Like, why not have it? This nice kind of shiny even number. And then next year we'll see.
I mean, at the rate of your growth, like you added 1K MRR in less than 2 weeks.
That was, I didn't expect that. This is something like, I don't know if that will happen again, but I hope it will stay there. But if I bring more apps, we'll probably be even better. See.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to keep growing. I want to learn more about your process of building apps. That's something that I'm curious to know, like, what are the steps? What are the areas where you put a lot of energy and areas where other people put a lot of energy, but you say like, no, that's not important. Like, don't waste your time there, because you're launching with a very high speed, 30 apps in less than a year, with a 9-to-5, with family. Like, that's something to envy. Like, I don't have kids. I don't have that much things to do. I have a company and everything that we're doing, but I still, I'm curious, like, how you manage to do this fast. So walk me through your process, like starting from an idea, how you come up with ideas.
Yeah, so I guess the most the most time that I put, the most important thing that I think is to get the right idea. Basically, this is where everything starts. And one of the sources, it's probably the same 80-20 rule works here as well. So 80% of the like time, my source is to go through like Astro, the tool that everyone uses. This is something like I took from Adam's videos. So you go into Astro and then you just browse through keywords and find a good like popularity difficulty ratio. So I usually set 15 to 18 popularity, which is probably too low, but I don't usually take these keywords, but I want to get a broader picture. Like, I get say difficulty to 60, popularity to 15. And then I just see what keywords are there, maybe like something interesting. So this is kind of most important. Another source that I found, and this is very like interesting source, is Twitter X. One example that I can tell about is I was just browsing like some like doing a post in a feed and found this was one app that the person was talking to and said this is a good time because like it was kind of seasonal app.
Yeah.
So I think the person already built that, and there was a comment like, great, because there's a season. What I did, I saw the opportunity. I had, since the apps, I'm just basically copying most of the code, so it was very easy for me to replicate. It took 2 hours from the start to the publish it to the App Store with the screenshots, with everything, because like wow. I said, I copy 90% of the code. Cursor does the... like the conversion, changing it from the one topic to another topic.
How much time was that?
Like 2 hours. 2 hours, basically. It was very quick.
From idea to App Store.
Yeah, I was so like eager. I was like, I need to do this app. Like, you know, sometimes I get too focused and maybe good or bad thing, I don't know. And this app is bringing €350 a month now. No ads, nothing, just ASO. It's at the end of the season and I'm not expecting any growth, but next year I probably go with Apple Search Ads or some other like sources. So this is another source. So, but that's not, doesn't happen every time. It's kind of hard because you need to read lots of messages and there's no guarantee you find something. But the most source is the Astro. And once it's built, you just find the look at the competitors. And another important point that I look at competitors and see what revenue they make. So you open the app store, you can find the app, you type the name, you see the revenue. It's probably not 100% accurate, but still you get the range. And this is important. If the app it gets lots of revenue, means this market, the money, so let's go. If it doesn't make much, then I made the app called Headache Tracker.
Yeah.
Kind of nice, but the biggest competitor makes like 50K a month, which is kind of nothing, and my app is not doing anything else. So if app gets like over 500K a month, the competitor one, I think this market, and I could even try, you know. And if the popularity, difficulty, the keywords itself, and the like revenue is kind of matching up altogether, then I just look and build the app. That's it. I mean, if there's not, like, I see if the app could be built in kind of a week, because I see there might be some specific libraries. I'm doing Flutter, so not everything is easily supported. There might be some outdated libraries that not really kind of nice to use. So, and, you know, it's a very difficult process, but once you get all this, the rest is just like a couple of days, app is there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So that's good. Like, I also... from the moment I started using Astro and looking through the keywords competitors, there was not a moment when I didn't have an idea of an app. Like, there are so many ideas like you find there. It's amazing. And okay, when building the app, like, where do you focus your energy, and where do you say like that's not important?
I guess the most important thing is to get that feature. So all apps are mostly single featured apps, so I don't add anything else. So the keyword is basically the problem that people mm-hmm. are looking to solve, and looking by comparing with competitors, make sure I'm not going to diverge too much to, you know, the other direction. This is one feature that I'm focusing on, make sure it's nice and it's clean, like bugs free, and, you know, stuff like that. And also screenshots, icon, you know, all this kind of visual stuff. That's what I'm really kind of focusing on. The rest, that's probably the most important thing, because if they look for plant identifier, they want to identify plants. I don't think mm-hmm. they want to identify something else, probably plants. So that's what we need to build.
Okay, that's on the feature side. Yeah, like focusing on one feature, I think it's super important. I think that's what a lot of developers are missing. Because we might start doing plant identifier and we might think like, oh, but we also want to, I don't know, have a collection of plants and save and share and build a social network around plants and connect with other plant geeks and so on. Now, I just focus on one feature. Take this advice and use it, guys. Don't sleep on it. What about other supporting features that are must have in any applications?
I have like my setting screen, which I'm basically 100% copying over, which is like the rate, my app, and some like terms and conditions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking about, like, for example, I know rating, the rating prompt is super important for, like, it helps rank higher. The paywall, super important, like you implement it in any application. Are there anything else that maybe I'm missing in my applications that, like, secrets?
Like onboarding. I mean, it's not secrets, onboarding. Onboarding is like the best straightforward example, and like the way you should do it is present onboarding, then present the paywall, and then there it goes. And everyone is saying, and I kind of can confirm in my own experience, like more than 80% of revenue comes, subscriptions comes from like onboarding. So people open the app, they subscribe, and it's very hard to you know, kind of to track them down and try to convince to buy your app afterwards. So this is very important. Ratings, for example, I did try like with my first app for the calorie counter. So I did try, like, there's a nice library in Flutter that detects when the user first opened the app, how many days they've been using the app, how many times they open the app per day and stuff like that. So I did set that everything, you know, and I didn't get much rating. So, but I do, I had that my own custom like dialogue saying like, do you like the app or you don't like the app? And then if they had do, then I present the system dialog. If they don't, I redirect to the email saying, like, if there's anything I could help you with. And like, it didn't really work out for some reason. Then I decided to drop that custom dialog, present the like system one. And then I just decided, since the paywall, onboarding is kind of long and user are, I'd say, engaged by this time, by the time they finish onboarding, I might ask for a review. And I see lots of apps, other apps, they do the same. So that's what I was doing. And same with the fasting app, because I have a kind of long onboarding on that. And that kind of worked well.
So asking for a review after the onboarding works, but only if the onboarding is long, only like when you kind of show the value first, something like that?
Yeah, I'd say so. I remember Adam, I think he posted, like, he released the cartoon app or something, some other apps. And then he put the rating straight after onboarding, and onboarding is usually short because my onboarding is basically what he suggested to use. And he got kind of lots of one-star reviews. So, like, you know, you need to be careful about that. Some people do kind of shoot the onboarding straight after the short, the review dialogue straight after the short onboarding. I prefer to have a long onboarding and rating. And for this kind of identifiers, study apps, other apps, I just present review after the successful identification.
When you say long onboarding, what do you mean? Like, what are your onboarding screens?
Like for the health, fitness apps, it's basically standard. You're asking what's your age, what do you want to achieve? Like data collection. But honestly, most of the screens are just dummy.
Like, we are not doing anything with the data, right?
It's just to engage, to get user more engaged and kind of extend on onboarding to kind of, you know, like get them into the app. Yeah, so it's like, but I have only it for two apps, so I just not doing anything else for now. I might do something later, who knows?
Yeah, my apps, like, usually they have just showing some benefits, like 2, 3, 4 screens. But I'm thinking about also adding like data onboarding like this to some of the apps, maybe like health.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know, like, this health, like because I built them before without any knowledge. If I was to build the same apps right now, I don't know, like, TikTok is the must, like a must, 100%. I might even start with TikTok, warming up an app that doesn't exist yet before I start building, because it's a hugely competitive niche and, like, ISO, it's nothing.
Oh, you mean if in the health space?
Yeah,
health space is interesting, but probably, like, it's super competitive, right?
Oh, yeah, I can even imagine it's just,
So you build the app. I know you're using Flutter. I'm not going to get into that discussion. I'm not sure, but on this channel, like probably all the audience are diehard React Native fans. My opinion on that is that tech doesn't really matter. Like, the end user doesn't care if you're using Flutter or React Native. So, like, we all use what we know best and what helps us ship faster.
Yeah, I can just briefly, sorry for interruption, I can briefly explain why I choose Flutter. And this is very funny. And I just opened, I had my app written like calorie counter in iOS. And I just decided maybe to get some more exposure to any other markets, like Google Play. I need to build another app. Sorry, this is another platform. And I had Flutter because it was rising up. I think it was, I built that in 2019, 2020, or React Native. And I just took two of them and I just picked Flutter. No reason at all. I knew zero Flutter, I knew zero React. If I started with React, I would be a React developer. I just picked Flutter and I am happy because it brings me revenue. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't mind. It's fine. It's fine to be React. It's fine to be Flutter. It's fine to be caught in multi-platform because it's also raising up. So guys, just choose what you want.
Yeah, while people are... they are debating what's the best, like React Native or Flutter, or what's more performant, what's that? Like, there are other guys like Max who are just making money and don't. All right. So you get your app on the store. What's next? Are you investing some time in the distribution, or you already start working on the next one?
Nowadays, like before, when I started getting my identifiers, I still had that personal attachment to the apps. So because I spent so much time on one app and built it, and I with the AI plant identifier, when I saw it started growing, I was like, okay, I must add new features because users want them. And then I'm kind of was hesitating and fighting with myself. And then I just, right now I understand, user doesn't care. You need to bring more users. Like you bring more users and then they could tell you if they want this or not. They might be looking for something very simple. So, it's too early to ask, too early to build, to decide. And then after to kind of mitigate that feeling, I have two, three more keywords prepared. So instead of thinking, okay, maybe I build collection, maybe I build social network within Plant Identifier, no, I'm building in my head already the second app. It helps me to kind of get emotionally detached from all apps. But now, since some apps are growing up, and I see, I kind of carefully, trying to understand, like, let me try this technique, let me try to localize this app, let me try change like the key, like purchases, like get instead of yearly subscription, lifetime subscription, try ISO, Apple Search Ads and stuff like that. So
what's your thought process around this? This is a topic that I wanted to get into, like, you have two options: build a new app or go back and improve some older apps. How are you prioritizing?
For now, like before, I said to myself, I don't care about the apps that I just built. I just push the apps, the new apps, like keep pushing like one after the other. That's it. I want to do everything, and when you do everything, you're not succeeding anywhere. So that's why I'm trying to separate some time. I set sometimes a week, so one day I work on the one app, improving whatever, like doing some features carefully, not jumping, not building new social network around the part identifier, just small features,
incremental improvements. Yeah,
yeah. Some part of my week dedicated to, I have one app that I just wanted. I see everyone is doing on TikTok, sorry, in Twitter, like running TikTok slideshows and everything. I just want to do that. And I have one app doing it, and the rest of the time I'm doing the building my portfolio. So I'm kind of splitting my week for now. I don't know what will be in a few weeks' time, months' time. I maybe reorganize my workflow, but for now, kind of focusing each day, each kind of activity. It works well.
So each day of the week, like you have a different task, a different goal, right?
Yeah, sometimes it might come over to second day. So it's not very strict. I'm not the person who always kind of meets deadlines. I see the task. If it's done, then I go to the next task. So it's kind of flexible.
That's something that I'm currently like trying to discover my workflow. I have already, I don't know, around 7 apps in the portfolio. And some of them are showing some signs of success. So I'm thinking like, do I build the next one or do I go back and improve it? And for now, like, I just noted down some low-hanging fruits, things that are easy to do that might have a big impact. For example, for one of the application, I spent, I don't know, 1 or 2 hours to improve the screenshots because the screenshots were bad, and it doubled the conversion rate and the downloads. In a couple of weeks, it brought like new in-app reviews, the reviews, and it boosted like in ranking, and it continues growing from that moment. Looking back, like I'm trying to figure out like what are these low-hanging fruits that might take an evening or a couple of hours that can double the result.
And you know, like when you keep building more apps, that's something that I noticed. If you have like a kind of handful of apps, it's easier to keep an eye and see like and tweak. But then when you grow more apps, it's like you just don't really look at every app that you build. But that's another, maybe a good thing. You just ship something. If it's not, it's if it's kind of doesn't match the market, it's not catching up, then you don't need to spend your time. So you kind of make yourself like, so you don't really care about this app. You go to the next one. And then if you see it's going up, then so basically my 30 apps are, like I said, only 20% of them, 5 to 6 that I can look into. And then I know that they kind of have some potential. So this is kind of like proven over time, and I see these apps can do something. So I'm safely investing more time into them because I see it might be there's a chance to get good profit with revenue on them much higher than on the other apps. Say this history one that I kind of like shipped recently just flopped. And then if I would keep adding some features, I would just spend my time and see like the like App Store algorithm showed that this app is crap. So let's keep on working next.
Okay, that's a good way to think about this, because the more apps you have, like if they all take energy from you, like mental space, where you're going to run out of mental space to think and focus, like. And it's just a matter of the survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah, you just keep in your head, like I say, five or six apps, have it in your head. It doesn't matter. The more apps you have, you still have your apps, like the same amount in your head. Yeah, and that's great.
Okay, perfect. That's a good way to look at this. And I imagine like once you find out something that works really good in one app, are you going back and implementing it in all the apps? Or are you going back to implement it only like in the top 10 apps?
Well, for study apps, yes, because like this, like I said, the code base is basically 90% all the same, 100, like 90% the same.
Yeah.
So if I find a bug or some kind of thing that I need to improve and I made the app better, I just go back and fix all the other apps. But yeah. Like it might sound really kind of difficult because I mean it's around 5-7 of study apps I have, but I do have I use a Fastlane which I set up, and I open my project, I change the code, like whatever the line, even if it's a small small addition, and I just hit the script and boom, like it's been deployed to mm-hmm. App Store, like been deployed. So I have one window with the mm-hmm. So I'm opening like six windows, mm-hmm. I change it one, boom, script running, like second script running, and then by the time I finish the last one, the you know first and second are already in production. Well, App Store takes some time to review, but Google is very fast, and so this is very good, easy thing to
that's
do.
Nice. Yeah, in my case I have like CI/CD pipeline that builds the apps in the cloud. So all I have to do is commit and push to GitHub, and then in the background, like somewhere there, like it's building in the cloud and submitting. And
that's probably that's something I would like to get into, but just don't have time. I need to prioritize it. I do run it from my laptop, and I'd say I set up my Fastlane maybe like 4 months ago, but before I was manually doing it, and I realized okay.
Yeah, building is painful, like waiting like I don't know what 5-10 minutes for a build, like even if it looks small, but like especially when you have to do this for 7 apps, that takes a lot of time.
But like some apps, like with the identifiers, I found a really nice kind of improvement that I did, but what I looked at the apps, I like some apps that I built a fish identifier, but one that I has nothing, zero, like it's only 2-3 downloads in a month. And there's no point to come back to it. And like, I don't know, should I delete it or not? Like there's one app that doesn't do anything. It's just crap. But suddenly, like a couple of weeks ago, I got a yearly subscription. It's a nice, it's not like reliable. I mean, it's not something that will make me my living, but from now here and there, like get some nice gift, why not? So let it run and you know. Yeah.
Especially if you don't have running costs, like if you don't have backends or...
Yeah, I mean, there's a running cost, like, of course, but it's not much of the usage on this app, so I mean,
if it's usage-based, yeah, like, it's totally fine. But if it's fixed, like, if you have a server that is always running there, like, yeah.
And actually, speaking about that, just so I have my, like, backend running on the Firebase.
Okay.
Cloud
nice.
Functions, and I mean, I'm so far I'm happy. Like I know, I think like Adam, he shared he used Cloudflare for that, and I looked at it, and I think I could probably save some money on it, but it's like 5 to 8 euro a month. Like
yeah,
I don't care.
Not a big. Yeah, it's about like where you put your energy. Like if you put the same amount of energy into growing your portfolio, like it's going to have a bigger impact compared to saving like 5 or 6 euros. But it's also a good mindset to have. You slightly mentioned about distribution, TikTok slides and so on. Before we get into the TikTok slides, I want to ask you about like the distribution strategy, because I know like building the apps, especially nowadays with all the tools like Cursor, Cloud Code, and so on, it's already not the hardest part. Like, it's doable even for people without a lot of experience. Distribution, however, like, is something that probably differentiates a successful project compared to a less successful one. What's your distribution strategy at the moment?
Well, you'll be surprised, but I don't have one.
You have one, like Aso is still
it. I don't have one. I mean, basically, like all my apps so far, they just been built and shipped and left as is. And like I'm doing Android also, like, and this is as well, like this is a good portion of revenue comes from Android too. So some apps, they completely flop in iOS, like just nothing, and then they grow in Android. Some apps, they flop in Android, grow in iOS. So, like, I don't have any distribution strategy for these apps. I do have some experiments with Apple Search Ads, but I don't consider it very kind of serious. So I don't think it's.
Did you try for some apps?
Yeah, like I do kind of. I'm running. I have this app single keyword ads group strategy where you have a single keyword and only this keyword is being targeted. Very low traffic, but very high conversion rate. Very high conversion rate, almost like 90 to 100%. So because almost everyone who sees that taps and installs because this is irrelevant.
So you take the main keyword of the app that you're targeting.
Yeah, so you know it's very nicely. I think Adam mentioned something similar. It's nicely comes together. You find the problem solution, the keyword, the app that solves that problem, and then you target Apple Search Ads on that but specific keyword. So it's everything is 100% specific to your app. So that's why. But the traffic is not that great.
And how much usually does download cost?
The best app I had was like 70 cents per download.
Oh, 70.
But mostly it's 1.5 to 2 euro.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't want, like, I don't know, like, it's, I don't want to spend much time on it. But on the other hand, since I still have my 9-to-5 and my income is kind of doubled, I still have opportunity to throw some money, like big chunk of money into ads.
Are you doing this like for every app like you're launching?
So not every app. Like I used to try for almost every app, but some apps are not picking up. Like I'm raising the bid for like 3 euro per tap, 4 euro per tap. Nothing happens. Maybe the traffic is just bad. So I stopped doing it. And then if some apps are kind of getting up, then you know I just let it run. But my monthly spend on Apple Search Ads is like around 400 euro, like, which is nothing. Like, I mean, it's like maybe 5 to 6 apps kind of, you know, running there. I'm tweaking the keywords and just tweaking some kind of train apps. But they all run on US, so I want to try out other countries. But again, so many tasks, so less, like, so like,
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to focus, so I have my kind of tickets in my Trello board that I will come to eventually and do that. So
okay, and you also mentioned about the TikToks. Mm-hmm. Did you already try it, or you're just testing the waters?
Look, I'm kind of doing something. I'm not sure. Like, I didn't get any viral videos yet. I'm just doing slideshows, and like since I'm very busy and you know doing everything, I just decided to go with the slideshows because that's the easiest thing.
Explain me these slideshows like I'm 5.
Yeah, so you get 4 pictures. So no, first you find the hook, you find the good post that has lots of like views, likes, comments and everything. You find the hook, what the like written on the slides. So you get 4 or 5 pictures. You get this text on each picture, and somewhere you inject your app name, or you inject the app name in the description. And basically, that's it. So it's very straightforward.
It's static images made into a video, yeah?
Yeah, so the video you need. Now with Sora, I did have some video experiments. It's another topic. But with the slideshows, it's much easier. You open Pinterest. You find like whatever images you want. I have a bank of images, like 100 images loaded onto my iPhone. And what I do, I just take random 4 five whatever pictures, they kind of repeating themselves over time, so it's not unique all the time. What's unique is the text, and the text, the hook, being generated by a prompt that I have with ChatGPT.
Like, what's the content there? Like, what's the strategy? Like, you're trying to build something that would attract the attention of a potential customers.
Yeah, it's a student app, like a very kind of competitive niche, but again, there's a huge chunk of revenue going around, so why not, you know, get a slice? Yeah, so basically, this is the app. No, I'm not targeting the app directly. This is what everyone says, because everyone understands it's an ad, and they just, you know, dismiss it. It's just like tips, study tips, something like to get you better, and then here, there's the app that I used to make everything better, and then get this A plus for my exam.
Okay, yeah, now I see.
And then I got the website, like the landing page, and I still see people getting accounts, like logging in, and I do get some subscriptions. I get like 2-3 web payments. I'm super happy, first time ever. There's like almost €30 on my like Stripe account.
Nice.
Can't wait to get, you know, the end of the month, see what how much I earn. But it's not going very good. I mean, it could have been better, but I guess I need to just get more accounts, get more traffic into the app,
yeah.
More videos and stuff like that. Yeah.
And it's probably also about like experimentation, about like throwing a lot of things and seeing what works. That's also something that probably like at one point, like I'll have to try, because I see a lot of people having like amazing success. There was one subscriber that learned like mobile development from my tutorials, and he wrote like on Twitter that they're doing right now 22K a month.
Could you share that tutorial with me, please?
yeah, I can share their Twitter. From one app, and they're doing the TikTok slides strategy. I invited him to a podcast, but he's not ready to talk. Like, it's top secret, so...
Just to add, this is like, I know if some people ask me in like an X, how do I manage it? And this is, it's kind of, I spent literally like few seconds, like 4 seconds to create one slideshow TikTok on one account. So how I do, I have bank of images in my phone. I have like the prompt from ChatGPT, which I just put, like hit enter, and that gives me like the variations. So I copy them over. And I have like my notes, Apple Notes, with all the variations, and I have the photos. So I open TikTok account, I pick random 4 photos, I open notes, and I just copy paste like title, copy paste description with hashtags, hit a post, that's it. No, like find the like nice sound, and that's it. So it's literally 5 seconds. One account, 5 seconds, second account. So you
do a separate account for a separate application, right?
I have only one application because I'm trying to like grow it, because like the more accounts you have, I guess the more reach you get. So, you know, I'm trying to kind of focus on one and see if the strategy works. Then I don't know, maybe I stop doing my portfolio and jump fully into the app if it gets 20K. But
you also did some tricks to make your account like US based.
I do have one phone, my old phone, with the VPN, and another one I just said I don't care, I just run it. Like I'm based in Latvia, I run it whatever in English, and I get lots of views from Canada. I get subscriptions from Canada, from UK, and like Latvian EU account. I have one video which has like, sorry, slideshow has around 30K views. It's semi-viral, you know. It's not really viral, so it brings me customers. Okay, of course, like US customers, they pay more, and probably everyone wants to get them first, you know. But I mean, it works for me, and I still want to crack US market too.
Okay, perfect. Max, that was a really great podcast. I personally learned a lot from you. I took a lot of notes. I'm going to go back to apply to my own apps. It was a pleasure talking with you. Is there anything else you would like to mention at the end for maybe people that are starting out with mobile development, with indie hacking?
Maybe just like a bit of motivational, like a few words, like the basic, you know, basic phrase, just keep going and you'll see the results later. It sounds pretty kind of like, you know, standard, but it does work. Like I remember myself back like a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, and I'm look at this like a morara, and I'm like, okay, it's not really growing. Like, I mean, I want more, but then I look back at where I started. I always every month, like so every week, I'm opening the revenue cut chart, yearly chart, and I see that line. And I just look at it and keep me motivating. So the advice is just, keep going. Like, I mean, you need to be very stubborn, very like focused, and you know, like just keep going. It really works. It will work sooner or later. Will work if you need to try different like options, different directions, but never stop, and you will get there.
And I'll give one more advice to everyone who is doing that. Make sure to go to Twitter. And follow Max, because he's sharing a lot of tips and advice there from his journey.
Thanks for the great talk. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you very much, Max. Let's stay in touch, and good luck with all the apps, with all your portfolio.
Thank you. Thanks, Vadim.
Thank you very much for joining, guys. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to subscribe to the channel, drop a like, and let us know what other indie hackers you'd love to invite here and have a chat about indie hacking and app development. I'll catch with you later. Bye-bye.